want to dance. I got serious things to talk about, Frank, including this next segment. If you grew up in Ontario, if you've driven through Ontario, or if you ever took a family to Niagara Falls, you have probably heard this jingle. Everyone loves Marineland. And I apologize if that's going to be your new earworm heading into the long weekend. Well, my next guest has been a thorn in the side of Marineland for a good many years. He is an award-winning journalist whose work reporting on the park not only got him banned from the park at one point, but helped spark provincial and federal law changes that ultimately led to where we are now.
Six of the closed Niagara Falls amusement park's beluga whales, which can weigh over 1,000 pounds, have been lifted out of the tanks, loaded into trucks, and arrived at their new homes in the United States.
That was a news report from Buffalo, New York last week. Marineland has been closed for nearly 2 years, but a number of belugas and dolphins remained. Joining me now to walk us through this story and the lessons we should be taking with us as we pick and choose which attractions we want to visit this summer is Canadian press reporter Liam Casey. Liam, welcome to Saskatchewan.
Thanks for having me on, Samara. I appreciate it.
Okay, Liam, I know you were there last week when those belugas were lifted out of their tanks, but if we could go back further first, take us back to the beginning, because when you're not covering the Ontario government, which I believe is your actual beat, you've been digging into Marineland for what, 15 years? For our listeners who have never been there, could you start out by painting a picture of what the park looked like and why you started reporting on it?
Sure. So the Marineland started in 1961. It kind of grew quickly and became one of the preeminent marine parks around the world. Back then in the, 60s, and I think in the 70s, 80s, 90s, they had, several killer whales, and they were like huge attractions. Millions and millions of people visited Marineland every single year. And it was the biggest tourist attraction in Canada, for a long time. And in 2011, I just started working at the Toronto Star and got assigned to cover Marineland after our justice reporter did a story about this odd custody battle over a killer whale between SeaWorld and Marineland. And so I was assigned to go down and just kind of dig into the court files and come back with a story. And so I came back with a story kind of about the whale trade and sort of the ins and outs of this court case, which Marineland lost, and they lost this SeaWorld whale that they ended up moving back in 2011. Then a year later, I started to hear some things, and another colleague of mine independently started to hear some things about, maybe not great stuff happening for the animals there. And eventually my colleague Linda Diebel published a big piece about some of the struggles from the seals and sea lions, which was largely due to some water problems that they were having at the park, and it was leaving some skin issues and some eye issues. And a bunch of whistleblowers kind of came forward and went public, and then I kind of soon joined the fray, and we had, I want to say, about an 8-month kind of investigation with a number of articles about a number of different issues there. Marineland has sort of long said they take better care of their animals, than even humans, and they sort of maintain, they were doing their best, and that, no animals were sort of harmed. This kind of, snowballed into, doing a few stories kind of every year, when I would, more people would kind of either quit the park or feed me information from inside the park about what was going on there. So I just felt like I should kind of keep tabs on it. Nobody else seemed to be. And, these were sort of a very big collection of animals. I think at its peak, they had 54 belugas, by far the most captive collection of belugas in the entire world.
I mean, that's a big park, but how do you fit 54 belugas in addition to everything else like that? What does that say in and of itself, that number, about the conditions that these belugas were living in?
Well, it was hard to get information, right? Because this is sort of the one challenge with covering it, is that the government, who is supposed to be there, and was there to check on the welfare of the animals. The government wasn't talking, Marineland wasn't talking, so it's a bit of a challenge. But yeah, the commissions, they've kind of struggled in cycles with their water. And meantime, the laws were starting to change kind of as a result of some of this reporting. And it led to this 2019 federal law that banned whale and dolphin captivity.
Mm-hmm.
They grandfathered in Marineland, but they also banned breeding. So Marineland had to separate their males and females.
Mm.
So they kind of had to, they split up some family kind of units because of that.
Mm.
And so Marineland tells me now that, you know, that led to a lot of problems, including several deaths were kind of stress related.
Mm.
And even some whales attacking another whale that happened last summer.
Wow.
And so they kind of, they sort of blame the law on this.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that, the one thing that the law did not contemplate is kind of what to do at the end of days.
Yeah.
Which is where we are now. And it's a bit of a, it's a bit of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I want to get into that mess because, like I said, and if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Canadian press reporter Liam Casey about Marineland, on which he's reported for the past 15 years or so. Liam, as I said earlier, as I was introducing this, Marineland's been closed for about 2 years, and yet there were all of these belugas still there. There still are some. There were the six that were transported to the U.S. last week, but there are 24 more still there, plus four dolphins. So why were these still there? I know there were talks about potentially euthanizing them and then they end up getting shipped, but talk to us about why those animals are still there and what we've seen transpire in recent weeks and months.
Sure. So what my understanding is that, so Marineland's founder and owner and kind of visionary John Holler died in 2018.
Hmm.
So that combined with the law, you know, they sort of realized the end was coming at some point. John Holler's wife took over, but she passed in 2024.
Hmm.
Prior to that, she had put the park up for sale. And the park had a deal with this aquarium in China named Chimelong Ocean Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
which has the world's Guinness World Record for the biggest tank in the world, and it's relatively new. I think it's built in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So they, Marineland had a deal with Chimelong, and they would take all the whales. But last fall, Marineland applied for a export permit
mm-hmm.
to the feds, and the federal government kind of pinned it hard and then eventually denied that request.
Hmm.
So the fisheries minister, Joanne Thompson, basically said it wasn't in the best interest of the whales because China didn't have a similar sort of law to Canada's 2019 law
hmm.
that also, which I failed to mention earlier, banned performances.
Hmm.
So that kind of threw a giant wrench into Marineland's plans. Because there's just not that many places, really, you could send 30 whales,
mm-hmm.
like anywhere in the world. So Marineland scrambled. They reached out to a bunch of American aquariums who have since kind of come together to take all these whales. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of going to be divvied up to in the five different parks, four of them in the States and then one in Spain, just to be able to handle this many whales.
Hmm.
Moving at kind of one time. It's believed to be the biggest kind of whale, coordinated whale move sort of in the world's kind of history.
And these parks, I guess, will not have shows. The whales won't be performing.
I don't know that. There's nothing in the there's nothing in the export permits that prevent these parks from doing it.
Interesting.
It is interesting. I don't know if there was really any other option.
Mm.
Like, there's just not too many places, like I said, you could send this number of whales.
Jeez. So Liam, like I played that news clip earlier of these belugas being lifted out of their pools. You were actually there. How does this happen? Like, how do you move all these whales from our side of the border to south of the border? Tell us about what you saw last week and what is still to come from this saga.
Sure. So it was, I got to say, it was pretty fascinating. So we go there and they moved six of them. There was four females and two males. So they're two separate pools. So they kind of start in one pool and then move to the other. And there was a lot of people. There must have been a dozen whale trainers kind of in the pool to kind of corral these guys. And what they do is there's sort of a shallow part of these two tanks where they can usually, you know, if they want to do some medical checks on them or whatever. And so they drop the water down. So the whale is still swimming, but like, you know, the trainers can get in and it might be maybe up to their hips or a little lower. And they're able to kind of corral. They corralled one we saw with sort of a net, kind of just threw a net over it. Mm. And then there's a crane right beside the pool. The crane has this custom made sling on the bottom that kind of looks like a blanket, but it's got holes cut out for its flippers. So they kind of guide it into the sling that is, you know, in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of hoist it out. It's very, very slow. Like, it's a very slow kind of lift.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the whales didn't love it, and they were kind of thrashing around, and some of the other whales were fine.
Mm.
And then what they do is they load, they had these two giant tanks on three different transport trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And these tanks had a layer of kind of foam, almost like you'd put on, you know, your mattress,
mm-hmm.
at the bottom. And then they fill it with, you know, with water to a certain level. They kind of slowly lower the whale in. And so it's in water. It's not submerged, so it can kind of breathe. And the whale trainers and some of these people, they're clipped to the side of these tanks.
Wow.
So they will ride basically in the back of a transport truck, clipped to these tanks so they make sure the whales are doing okay.
Wow.
So what they did on that, so that process started, I think, around 4 p.m., and by 8 p.m., they had all six whales kind of loaded in their trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took off in this fairly large convoy with like a police escort that drove from Marineland, I think about 2.5 hours to Toronto Pearson Airport,
mm-hmm.
where they were, those same tanks were then loaded on to a 777 cargo jet.
Wow.
And then they took off. And what Marineland was telling me is, you know, they need to be careful about inclines and declines for those tanks because the whales can move.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want it too steep, you know. So they had to be careful about where they were driving. They had to make sure there was no, especially some of the bridges, they had to make sure, you know, it wasn't too steep to go up and down. Same thing with the airline. With the plane, it's sort of a, you know, not a crazy high takeoff and a kind of long, slow descent.
Mm-hmm.
So then they flew to Chicago. They dropped off four of the female belugas. And so then that process was done in reverse. Basically, those tanks go back onto the transport trucks and then headed to Shedd Aquarium in Chicago.
Mm.
And then two others then that were still on the plane, they then went on to SeaWorld in San Antonio, and same thing there. And there's some interesting videos coming out of surprised people who see,
oh, wow,
who see the workers, you know, strapped into the tanks on the highway.
Well, I was just going to say, you're reminding me of like driving along Saskatchewan highways and telling my kids, look at the pigs next to us, guys. Look at the pigs in the back of the truck. Liam, we're almost out of time here, but I need to ask you, as somebody who has covered this story for so many years, whose reporting helped lead to the law that banned keeping whales and dolphins in captivity in Canada. When you see these belugas being airlifted out and moved on to Pearson, all of this stuff, what does that feel like as a journalist?
Well, it's been a long time, and, you know, you kind of want to finish what you started. So for me, journalistically, you know, I want to be there kind of right up to the end, and hopefully I'll be invited back in, you know, for the final move. You know, the country has decided that it doesn't want whale and dolphin captivity anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know, through this kind of federal law, which wasn't really challenged too much by any other political parties. You know, and we're seeing these laws kind of change in other countries too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's also thriving. The industry is still thriving in many parts of the states, and it's also kind of being lifted up in China and places like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I basically just wanted to let people know what was happening inside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of these kind of closed worlds, and I just felt like the public should know what's happening, especially with these animals, mm-hmm. and especially because, you know, these are Canada's last captive whales and dolphins, mm-hmm. you know? And I just felt like people should know what's happening mm-hmm. inside, and then they can make their own decisions.
Liam, you have done such an amazing job helping us understand what has happened over the years. And I imagine this must have been bittersweet for you because, as you said, there's still such a market for this, and hence why these belugas are heading probably to the places that they are. We have to end it there, unfortunately, but I know there's so much more to come. So if you'll let me bug you again, I'm going to bug you again next time I'm on so we can keep this story going. Okay, Canadian press reporter Liam Casey, thank you so much and enjoy your long weekend, hopefully.
Thanks, Samara.
Journalism never stops, folks. They don't get real breaks. All right, we've got more coming up after the break. I want to hear from you. Do you think marine parks and animal attractions still have a place, or has that time passed? Give us a call, send us a text message, 1-877-332-8255 on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.